He's the Speakin' Deacon, Jeff Rosignol. I hope you're ready for this exciting conclusion and this potent and relevant message, because here we go.
The devil needs God's truths to cook his lies. He cannot do it by himself. There is no creative ability in the devil's words alone. He must twist God's truths. Are you hanging in there? Now I'm going to go a little deeper. Here's what it does mean. I'm going to take you over to 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 31. Here's a couple verses about God choosing. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. God chose. 1 Corinthians 1:29, so that no one may boast before him. Right? Then we go back to the other one. I'm so grateful that I chose God out of my goodness, that I saw it in my brain, that I was smart enough to walk forward, and I received Christ. What? Let's read back up here. So that no one may boast before him. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's the cool thing. My opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. Hey, I'm the filthiest, rotten, most evil sinner there is. Only Jesus Christ. My credit, my righteousness is Jesus Christ. It's not mine. I'm only getting to heaven through him. There's no other way. I don't deserve heaven. Jesus gave it to me despite me. That's the gospel. I stink. God still loved me. That's the gospel. My hope in heaven has nothing to do with me, has everything to do with Jesus. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Amen. Yeah, there's more. Mark 13:20. For if the Lord had not cut short the days, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, the chosen, it's that Greek word, whom he has chosen, there's a double whammy, the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. And Colossians 3:12, therefore is God's chosen people, holy. This word holy doesn't mean all of a sudden the light switch goes on and we glow in the dark. Holy means set apart. So chosen people, set apart and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience means long suffering. That's a more accurate term. That's way more accurate. So hurting your heads yet? Breaking your brains? That's all right. Stretch those brains. Feel the burn. Someone might say, but what about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Is that true? Absolutely true. Absolutely true. That's actually a subservient truth to the truth that God chose. But let's take a look. Who did believe? Who did believe? Psalms 14:2 and 3 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who will understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. That's a universal all. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one. There's another universal. No one who does good. Not even one. Ouch, come on. Cut us some slack, God. And then Isaiah 53:6, which is a huge prophetic text about the Messiah to come, says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, these are huge texts. This should start spooking you a bit, and that's okay. If your heart starts saying, wait a minute here, I'm losing control of this situation. My free will is slipping from my fingers. But wait, you're going to lose more power. There's more. Hang in there. You see, we are walking dead. We are walking dead. Just like the famous show that's out right now, which I haven't seen yet. People say it's good. I haven't watched it. No freedom or free will, no life, unable to receive Jesus. Now we were talking before the service about the people. You keep sharing the gospel, sharing the gospel. You know, it's not about religion. It's not about church. It's about Jesus Christ. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. You know, yeah, I know we all struggle with sin, but Jesus Christ wants to cover that. This is what it's all about. It's about Jesus. Ephesians 2:1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Dead people don't do altar calls. Dead people don't pray the sinner's prayer. They can't. They're dead. Okay? When you preach the gospel to a dead person, flatlines. Nothing will happen. Something is missing. I'm going to explain this. I'm going to go a little deeper in a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. "For all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature objects of wrath." Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Objects of wrath by nature, apart from Christ, God's wrath is still upon that person. We got to be careful when we go around and say, "Oh, God loves you. God loves you." If you're not in Jesus Christ, you are still under God's wrath. You are by nature an object of God's wrath. His guns are loaded. You're one breath away from the worst hell you've ever experienced. Because before you plummet into hell, you're going to face God's great white throne of judgment, and God's going to beat you. God is going to expose all your sin, all your evil, and then while you were alive, you didn't give a rip about my Bible, you didn't give a rip about my people, and the only time you used Jesus' name is when you swore, boink, and that's the end of it. And what's even worse is, if God could take a sinner out of hell 1,000 years after they've suffered there and cleaned off the sulfur, they would still spit in his face. They would never repent. The people who are in hell are never going to go, "Okay, wait, I changed my mind. Okay, you're gone, you're gone." They're never going to do that. Even in hell, they're going to say, "You gave me a crappy life, God. It's because my parents did this to me. It's because the school system did this to me. It's your fault, God." Even as they're burning in hell, they will still hate God. It's crazy. It's terrifying. And now what makes it more terrifying is that was us. If you're in Christ, then you can say, "That was me." If you're in Christ. Ephesians 2:4. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." This is huge. This is huge. This is the difference. If you have some folks, I can't pull the thunder yet here. I gotta go a little deeper. Okay, wait, I'll come back to this. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Do you understand? God makes us alive. God makes us alive. I want to unpack something here for you. I want to make sure I'm on the right track first. I'm not. All right. This is huge. Because we are made alive by Christ even when we're dead. So God takes a dead person, just like Jesus and Lazarus. Before Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," guess who was already alive in there? Because the only way Lazarus could hear Jesus' voice is if he was already quickened by the Holy Spirit, brought to life. I'm not saying he was alive in there 4 days. I'm not implying that. When Jesus came there and it was set and the stone was rolled away, Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." When Jesus speaks to dead people, they come back to life. They hear the voice, they get up, and they walk towards their Savior. God makes us alive in Christ, even when we're dead in transgressions. And this is grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. This is despite us. Now, some of you might be thinking, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. Of course, we don't want fair, because fair means justice. Do we want God's full justice? No, because for fairness, in all fairness, I deserve hell. I don't deserve heaven. No matter how good I've tried, I will never be able to stand before the throne of God and say, gee, didn't I do swell? I'll never be able to do that because God has got me nailed. I've always broken the Ten Commandments. You've always broken the Ten Commandments. We're guilty, 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 guilty. Only in Christ do we stand a chance. A great chance. A superb chance. As a matter of fact, a shoo-in chance. A guaranteed chance. All right. Let's keep moving. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. This is crucial because, and you got to listen carefully for this, for a lot of the cults and false religions, they'll either say anything but Jesus Christ is a key one, and the other one is Jesus Christ plus. As soon as it goes Jesus Christ plus baptism plus make sure you come to church, plus anything else but Jesus Christ is works. And it's not by works. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's because I'll never be good enough. It's always going to be Jesus Christ from first to the last. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died in my place. All right? He sacrificed himself in my place. He took my sin, killed it, gave me his righteous life. It's mine, even though I didn't deserve it or earn it. Okay? In Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Whew. Okay, we're almost done here. Hang in there with me. Here's the big kicker. Old school thinking, not old school, but popular thinking, is that a person hears the gospel, they come forward, and they say, yes, I received Jesus, then they're born again. And they think that's and from a worldly perspective, that's kind of what it looks like. But in reality, biblically speaking, here's what happens, is just the opposite. The Holy Spirit regenerates somebody. They hear the gospel, they respond! Yes, of course. I've been waiting for this information for a long time now. This rocks. Yes. The only reason a person, that's like we were sharing, we tell our friends, we tell our family about Christ, we share the gospel, and it's just not happening. You come at it at different angles. You bring in science. You bring in everything. You show them every which way possible that, look, dude, God rocks. And they're like, eh. I'm going to party, I'm going to do whatever, I don't care about your God, he's just going to let me in when the day is up. And they walk away so flippant. But not for a person who's been regenerate. The Holy Spirit empowers a person that when they hear the gospel, they go, wow. They go, I've been waiting for this. That's why, if you ever seen the Jesus movie, there's a lot of them, but this one's been used for missionary purposes around the world. It's been translated into a zillion different translations or languages. And the key thing about it is it's an imperfect gospel message. It's really kind of sloppy and silly in some of the ways. But it didn't matter because once they plop it out there, those folks at the Holy Spirit that God had already pre-chosen before the foundations of the world heard that and said, I've been waiting for that. Finally, someone brought it to me in my language. And boom, they went forward just like that because they are already prepped for Christ. They were already prepped for the gospel. And that's what rocks. So keep spraying the gospel around and the flowers will bloom. We don't know who it is, and this is where we're going to unpack this part. Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious leader. John 3:7-8 says, Jesus says to him, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We don't know where the Holy Spirit's moving in people's hearts. We just spray the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. And wherever the Holy Spirit is, boop, that person will show up. Oh yeah, I got it, buddy. Yeah, Jesus rocks. This is what I've been waiting for. This is it. I knew there was something more to this life. I knew there was something deeper, more purposeful. Wow, this is it. That's what happens when you spray the gospel around. Is you find those people that the Holy Spirit's been... Okay, this one's ready. Boom, get him with the gospel. Yes, he moves forward. He lives for Jesus. Enables us to respond to the gospel. John chapter 6, verse 65. And did you know, in the Bible, there's a John 6, 6, 6. Okay, here it is. I'm being a little sarcastic, maybe a lot. Here it is. John 6, 65 says, of course, Jesus went on, gave a hard teaching, and a bunch of people said, "You're nuts, buddy," and they left Jesus. That's the preface to this. And then Jesus said, he went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." Now, that doesn't just mean prepared the way. It means God went, "You!" and pulled them in. That's exactly what that means. It means God drew them. God grabbed them and says, "You're one of mine, buddy. Come on." That's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean it says, "Let me just clear the path for you." That's not what the Holy Spirit was doing. The Holy Spirit says, "Enable, bang, you're one of mine." From that time on, many of his disciples, of course, that is the verse 666. From that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Interesting coincidence. It is a coincidence because the chapter and the references are not inspired. All right, those were man-made, put in there to help us break down the scripture. And then, of course, and finally, the Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, enables us to respond, and seals us. And Ephesians 4:30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So don't worry, you can't lose your salvation. You can't lose eternal life, because if you lost eternal life, you didn't have it to begin with. Because eternal life kind of lasts forever. Okay. Here we go. We're almost done. Really. Really. I mean it this time. I think. Yes. Okay, so now let's do the heart check. Let's do the heart check. I gave you some deep stuff. Think about what wrestled in your heart. What sort of arguments that you would want to bring to the table and say, "Yeah, but." Yeah, but. And that's not wrong. That's cool. Be a good Berean. And go check your Bibles. Go check the scriptures. Did I say stuff that was malarkey? Am I just being biased towards something? You know, when I started out as a Christian, I believed in free will. And then as I grew in the Lord, and it wasn't in college even, it was debating a guy who believed in God's sovereign will over man's pseudo-will, where I was changed because he showed me the verses. Scripture convinced me, not the guy. Because my opinion doesn't matter. His opinion didn't matter. Does the Bible really say that? Why is there men and women out there who preach a different gospel? Preach a gospel of works. Preach a gospel of baptismal regeneration. Preach Jesus Christ plus this, this, and this. I'll tell you why. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. Who gets the glory at the end? Either Jesus Christ or man, and that's the fight. If God is true, and what I taught you today is biblical truth, you would definitely find that battle in the world. You would definitely find a church that would say, "Be careful, you could lose your salvation today. Be careful because you didn't do A, B, and C, thus you're going to hell." Now keep in mind, don't I preach the five disciplines every week like I just did a second ago? That doesn't mean you're not going to heaven if you do those, you know. That's not, those are fruit. That's response to someone who is saved, someone who loves Jesus. That is not required to go to heaven. So what is your battle? Is it anger? Is it fear? Do we want to have the power to choose God? Do you understand that the presence of that very conflict in your heart proves how evil we are? The freedom to choose between evil, the freedom to choose between hopelessness, the wrath of God. Why do we want to have the freedom to choose to be under God's wrath or to be evil? Why is it even in our hearts to wrestle? "Yeah, I want to have the right to be evil." What? Right? Are we nuts? Right? Or the option is holiness, goodness, joy, peace, the ultimate enrapturing meaning of existence. That's why we are created, to love God. Even though my Patriots lost the Super Bowl, I love the Super Bowl. I wish I could be there in the midst of the Super Party. It'd be fantastic. But that's man-made stuff. Heaven's even going to be greater than that. Heaven is the ultimate Super Bowl of happiness and coolness. Now let's go to the other side of that. On the other hand, it is terrifying to think that we are powerless over our own existence or where we spend our future existence. See, keep in mind, did any of us plan our birth? Okay, I'm going to be born in 1971. I'm going to make sure I got brown eyes. I'm going to make sure I'm born in Maine. Did any of you schedule that into your schedules, who your parents were going to be? We had no control over that. Well, all of a sudden, one day, boop, and now we got to figure it out. Why am I here? And we actually come out of the womb going, right? Why are we here? We have no power over that. It's true, very easily we could have not existed, right? Unless there's something else going on. So it is quite terrifying to think that those God foreknew, he chose before the creation of the world, and all the people he went over to grab you. That's terrifying. Who are we? That's scary. But wait, where's the power? I have no power now. I'm powerless. Yes. We are at the whim of God's will. We are at the whim of God's will, and we can say or do nothing about it. That's pretty scary. And it's okay to be scared, because that's the truth. And that is why there are so many verses in the Bible that say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then, let me just read this to you, and we're done. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 5 is where I'm going to end. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you greatly rejoice. We belong to Jesus, no matter what comes, no matter what stupid things our government does, no matter how much longer it's going to be before what I preached is illegal, we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. And Peter says all that to them to say, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So God assures them they belong to Christ, and then he says, and by the way, here's why, because here comes the suffering. You're about ready to take up your cross and follow Jesus.
There's some food for thought. Please visit thespeakingdeacon.com and get connected to the growing number of social media Christians. Thespeakingdeacon.com. Truth is here.